I wish to call attention to the fact that we read in the New Testament where Christ, at the close of his personal ministry, set in motion the chain of understanding that culminated in the establishment of his church and the preaching of the gospel to the whole world. Luke records that Christ said unto them, "These are my words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their mind, that they might understand the Scriptures." Yes, Jesus opened their minds, causing them to understand the Scriptures. He promised the apostles that power from on high, the Holy Spirit, as revealed in this text and also Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came and fulfilled the mission of guiding them, the apostles, into all the truth, as had been promised in John 16:13. When the 3,000 obeyed the gospel on the day of Pentecost, did they understand what they were doing? Were there several different doctrines concerning salvation preached on that day? How many different churches were established on that day in Jerusalem? Ladies and gentlemen, I say it is obvious to anyone reading the New Testament example that God's word was preached, heard, understood, believed, and obeyed on that occasion, and I submit to you that the same thing can happen today. Concerning the great issue of salvation, men today can read and study the New Testament examples from the book of Acts, thus hearing the same message, understanding the same message, believing and obeying the same message. If not, why not? In the first century, there was a man from Ethiopia who was a worshiper of God, and having traveled far to serve Jehovah, was reading the Old Testament scriptures as he rode along in his chariot. But he was not yet a Christian. The Holy Spirit commanded the gospel preacher, Philip, to go and join himself to this chariot. As soon as Philip had done so, he asked the Ethiopian man the question, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. Now then, if the Ethiopian eunuch had understood the prophecy of Isaiah to mean that Isaiah was speaking of himself, yet Philip the evangelist understood that the prophet was to be Jesus of Nazareth, one of them had to be wrong. They both could not be right and understand differently, but they both did understand alike. As a matter of fact, both Philip and the eunuch evidently understood the command of Christ when he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16, because Philip preached unto him Jesus, the Bible says. Obviously, the commands of Jesus. In response, the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip replied, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." The Ethiopian declared, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then, the Bible says, they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, you will read that in Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 38. Philip understood the command of Christ. Philip understood the command of Christ when he commanded, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." The eunuch understood the command of the Lord as taught to him by Philip because, as a believer, he requested that he be buried with Christ in baptism. He said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, in this case, Christ gave a command to be obeyed. The evangelist understood the command and taught it to the eunuch. The eunuch understood the command and obeyed the Lord. Each understood alike, ladies and gentlemen. No problem. Just accept the word of the Lord. Then we understand the word of the Lord. We understand alike, my friends, and no question about it. There are things in the Bible that must be classified as solid food, strong meat of the word of God. These matters are not impossible to understand, but may be difficult. They are not intended for babes in Christ, but for the full grown, those who are mature in the Lord. But on the other hand, that are those things that are absolutely necessary to one's salvation that all men can understand. These are the truths which are self-evident and ascertainable, rather than the deeper truths which are difficult to understand or impossible to understand. Certain things must be known and understood by those who would obey the will of God. The forgiveness of sins is dependent upon one's understanding of the gospel of Christ, the facts, commands, and promises. One must obey the gospel from his heart, that is, with an understanding of what he is doing and with a sincere motive. The inspired apostle declared that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, Romans 10, verse 10. And he must understand what God has declared for him to do as he obeys the gospel. True faith, repentance, baptism into Christ bring the alien sinner the remission of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the promise of eternal life according to the New Testament. Now you will read that in Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:26-27, and 1 John 5:11 and 12. Furthermore, not only the initial forgiveness of sins, but also the ultimate salvation of our souls is dependent upon our understanding what it means to live the Christian life. Faithfulness and holiness until death do not come by accident. The Christian life is a matter of study, understanding, and application of the sincere milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. The Apostle Peter exhorts us as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. It is not only important to understand the Bible because of the great blessings involved, but also because of the great dangers of misunderstanding the Word of God. Great tragedies have resulted in every realm of life because of misunderstanding. What about a pharmacist who misunderstood the doctor's prescription? Many examples might be cited in this area. Yet it is far greater tragedy to misunderstand that which pertains to our immortal souls. The Lord Jesus warned us that when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which hath been sown in his heart. Matthew 13:19. Ladies and gentlemen, it may be true that men will not understand these matters of faith alike revealed to us in the Bible, the Word of God, but we should not claim that we cannot understand them alike. Was Christ praying for an impossibility when he prayed that all might be one? Was the Holy Spirit through Paul commanding an impossible thing when he said, I urge you all to speak the same things and be of the same mind and of the same judgment? God has always made his will understandable for men. Adam and Eve knew what they had done when they sinned against God. It was not a matter of misunderstanding or understanding differently. Even though they were extremely unusual, Noah had no difficulty in understanding and obeying his instructions from God, Genesis chapter 6. And King Saul of the Old Testament, by his own admission, could not claim ignorance or misunderstanding in his failure to please Jehovah, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Captain Naaman knew what he had done, and he knew what he had been told, and he understood what he was told to do. No excuse. 2 Kings chapter 5. Since we live in a much more excellent age, surely God has made his will understandable to us today. If it were not understandable, then why are the consequences of preaching false doctrine so severe? Paul declared, and listen to this, but though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any other gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. No, not even for the sake of unity and peace, or for any other noble motive, could the apostles receive false teachers. What a difference between these New Testament concepts and the practices of men today. God has always communicated his will to man in an understandable way. And only the will of God provides salvation. Really, I ask, what is your attitude toward the Bible? Do we believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God? When men reject the authority of the Bible and predicate their religious beliefs and practices upon tradition, human reason, human experiences, emotional feelings, and supposed revelations, not only will men not understand the Bible alike, but they will not understand the Bible. One of the greatest needs of our time is respect for authority. We need more respect for authority in the home. More authority needs to be exercised by parents. And in all things, respect the authority of God.
The Word of God is complete and thoroughly furnishes every man in faith and practice. To Timothy, Paul wrote, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." 2 Timothy 3, 16-17. As we consider God's authority as a basis of agreement, there are two basic principles involved in our belief and understanding of the Word of God. First, I have no right to object to anything in religion that my brother has a scriptural right to believe and practice. Secondly, another person has no right to practice anything in religion that I have a scriptural right to object to. The Word of God is the standard of authority which determines the right and the wrong in this case. These two principles certainly would prohibit a compromise of one's conviction of the truth. That is not the slightest intimation in all the Bible that God approves a compromise of His Word. When all believe the Word of God, all will be forced to walk by the same rule, being of the same mind and of the same judgment as taught by Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. For example, if a man has a scriptural right to baptize or sprinkle an infant, I have no right to object. The Holy Spirit declared, "Be of one accord, of one mind." If a preacher has the scriptural right to call sinners to the altar to pray for salvation, I have no right to object. Remember, the apostle admonished that you all speak the same things and be of the same mind and of the same judgment, as already pointed out. No one has the right to do anything in religion that another person has a scriptural right to object to. Or, I have no right to object to anything that you have a scriptural right to do. But question, does one have scriptural authority to baptize an infant? If not, he certainly has no right to practice such a religion and claim to be guided by the authority and law of God. My friends, I assure you that there is not the slightest intimation of authority in the Bible for such practice. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." Now notice, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:15-16. "He that believeth," Jesus said. Infants who are incapable of believing are not subject of the gospel. If a gospel preacher has the scripture right to call sinners to the altar to pray for salvation, I have no right to object, but question, does any man have a scripture right for such actions? If not, it is out of order and unscriptural to do such a thing. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? I assure you there is not the slightest resemblance of such a practice revealed in the Word of God. On the contrary, in every record of conversion found in the book of the Acts, people were taught the gospel, they believed and obeyed the gospel. The first time people received remission of sin in the name of the Lord, they heard, they believed, they obeyed the same thing. Read Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 47. Peter preached the gospel, and the Bible says that when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the brethren, "What shall we do?" My friends, do you know what the inspired apostle commanded them to do? Do you think he said, "Come to the altar and pray for forgiveness," or "Just hold up your hand and we will pray for you"? No, ladies and gentlemen, that is not what the apostle said. He was guided by the Spirit of God, not by the opinions of men and the spirit of error. He commanded the 3,000 souls. Now listen, this is what the Bible says, and you can understand it. If we understand it, we will understand it alike. Hear him. And Peter said unto them, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2, verse 38. Ladies and gentlemen, I declare to you that the difficulty in religious understanding is not that we cannot understand the Bible alike, but the trouble is many insist on teaching and practicing that which is not taught in the Bible. The division that exists in the religious realms are not over matters taught by God in His holy word, but the divisions and variety of beliefs are concerning things not taught in the Word of God. Men cannot agree where they have no rule or authority as their guide. But when honest, sincere men and women believe and practice only that which is taught in the Word of God, the sole authority for all matters of faith and practice and religion All will speak the same things, and all will be of the same mind and of the same judgment. This unmistakable just and righteous principle will eliminate all human creeds and religion, and unite all believers upon the all-sufficient creed given by God, the Bible, the Word of God, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Word of God. The claim of man to modify the Word of God or supplement its teaching with their own innovations and inventions is primarily the cause of division. Many seek to advocate and establish what is not taught instead of contending for that which is authorized and approved by the God of heaven. Concerning things plainly taught in the Bible, there should be unity of faith and practice. Concerning things not taught in the Bible, that is contention and division. He who adds one point of doctrine to the doctrine of Christ, or changes in the least the mode of operation of God's plan for worship and service of Him, promotes division, genders strife, thereby destroying the unity of the body of Christ, and himself falls under the condemnation of Almighty God. Friends, remember that Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Furthermore, he declared, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him on the last day." Would you believe that Christ will judge man in the day of the judgment by his word, what he said, and yet men cannot understand what he said? My friends, you can be sure that whether one understands or misunderstands, he will be judged by what the Lord said. Our Lord explained this matter furthermore and the importance of it when he declared, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." And then referring to the judgment day, he said, "In that day some shall say, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? Did we not cast out demons by thy name? Did we not do many mighty works in thy name? And then shall I profess unto them, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you." You just can't afford to misunderstand the will of God. Why not understand his will and obey him today?